Ches Tammuz, Sunday the 10th of July, Rabbi Avraham Aran. Can looks kill?
Rishos, the esteemed audience have gathered here today. When it comes to the topic of Ayin Hara, Klal Yisrael are split into two groups. You get some people who panic about it, who are concerned about it, who are exceptionally worried about it. They wrap themselves around with red strings. Anything you ask them, they're secretive about. Anything you may mention to them, they will say, B'li Ayin Hara. How many children? B'li Ayin Hara, so many. How was business today? B'li Ayin Hara, good. And then you have the second half of Klal Yisrael, who are completely blasé about this whole concept of Ayin Hara. They lark at it. They say it's vayva shemaises. They say it's for people who are neurotic. What is the correct approach, lahalocha, bizmanenu, how to deal with Ayin Hara? So as always, let's start from source, let's start from Gemara, and we'll work through together, Be'ez Hashem, halacha lemaisa, how to deal with Ayin Hara, how to handle Ayin Hara, what is Ayin Hara, and if there's really anything to be concerned about. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara that says, "V'heisa Hashem imcha kol chayli." The Rebbeinu Shlomo promises Klal Yisrael, "If you keep the Torah, I'll remove from you all illnesses." Amar Rav, what does it mean, kol chayli? And Rashi says, "Kol chayli means the illness which is there, which causes any other illness to come." Amar Rav, Rav says, "Zu Ayin Hara." That's the illness of Ayin Hara. The Gemara continues, "Rav letamei." How did Rav know that the main illness is Ayin Hara? Rav solak lebei kivra. Rav went to visit a beis hakvaris. Ovid maida ovid. He did there what he did there. And a fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, yedea hoya lilchesh. Rav had the know-how how to go around the beis hakvaris, walk over to each keva, and say a lachash there, and he would know what the person buried that dived from. What was the illness? Va'oma, and he said, Tisha v'tishin ba'ayin hara. 99% of people, out of every 100 people, 99 of them died from ayin hara. Ve'echad b'derech eretz. And one of them died from another illness. So Rav says, when the pasuk guarantees you, v'heisa Hashem l'mcha kol chayli, it means the number one killer, the ayin hara. As Tosfos, he doesn't understand. We know that was one shevet in Klal Yisrael, who never had them Ayin Hara. B'nei Yosef, they got a brocha. Ma dogm shebeyom don't have Ayin Hara. Also, they wouldn't have Ayin Hara. So ask Tosfos, if so, why do we not find that B'nei Yosef outlived the rest of Klal Yisrael? Why don't we find that people who are descended from Sheva Yosef live much longer? As Eifrek Tosfos. Why don't they? They should live much longer. Answers Tosfos that the Rebbeinu Shleilem has a separate storeness of illnesses which he sends out to target B'nai Yosef. For Yisod they would live much longer, but the Rebbeinu Shleilem has special illnesses which sends to B'nai Yosef. So the Mashal says he doesn't really understand Tosfos. He says, if so, the Gemara says Rav went into the Beis HaKvaris and he said 99% of people in this Beis HaKvaris died of Ayin Hara. B'nai Yosef weren't just 1% of Klal Yisrael. B'nai Yosef were more than 1%. So where were all B'nai Yosef? Answers the Mashal that B'nai Yosef lived on the other side of the Sambatyon, and they were never targeted here. And the Gemara is speaking about the rest of Klal Yisrael, not B'nai Yosef, that 99% of people die from Ayin Hara. There's another interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara in Brochus, Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara there speaks about a person who comes to a new town. Hayman de'ol asa. Somebody comes to live in a new town and he's worried that Ayin Hara will affect him. What should he do? Dochel ma'ayin bisha. So the Gemara gives a remedy how to get around the Ayin Hara. Linkoit zakfe yada di yamina bi yada de smoyla. He should take his right thumb and hold it in his left hand. Vizakfe di yada de smoyla bi yada di yamina. He takes his left thumb and holds it in his right hand. He should get hold of his two thumbs. The loy mind should say as follows: Ano pleini ba pleini, I'm so-and-so the son of so-and-so. Mizare de Yosef kasina, I'm a descendant of Yosef. De le sholta by ein abisha, there's no anara can attack me. And shenema, as the posuk says, ben peris Yosef, ben peri ala oyen, and we darshan oyla oyen, and that saves you from my anara. The Gemara brings another posuk, you should say, v'yigdolori b'kerev ha'oretz, Ma dogma shebiyam, just like the fish in the sea, le shelter by ein ara, no ein ara can nab fish in the sea, what then they won't nab me. So everybody asks on this Gemara, what's going on? Who are you trying to kid? Who are you fooling? If you're from a descendant of Yosef, ein ara isn't going to get you anyhow. If you're not a descendant of Yosef, what does it help you start playing games and say, I'm a descendant of Yosef? So the Mashah answers slightly different question. Stamazai, how can a person say it? Mitvashekatircho. You mustn't start saying you're a descendant of Yosef if you're not. So the Mashah explains that everybody is considered a descendant of Yosef, because as the Pasuk says, Noye katsoin Yosef, so we're all somewhat descendants of Yosef. But still somewhat a bit shver. At the end of the day, how does exactly Ayin Hara work? One last Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Basra, right at the beginning of Beis Amid Beis. Omar of Abba, Omar of Hun, Omar Rav. Osa lo Odom, it's forbidden for a person, Lamed b'stei chaveiroi, to go and stand gazing at a field of his friend, b'shoshi yomedes b'kamosei, when it's in full bloom, when the crop's fully grown. Rashi there says, why? One sentence, four words, shelo yezikenu ba'ayin ara. If you go and stare at your friend's field, you can go and cause trouble. It will be nabbed with ayin hara. And the emissary of this Gemara is brought down halach and chesh mishpat in Siman Shin Ayin Chesif Hey, that there's an issa for a person to go into somebody's field, stare at it when the tefillah is fully grown. In a case that a person did stare at the field and cause damage to it, so the emissary is you're potter from paying. Because there's something called hezek she'ena nika. If you mazik somebody in a way that you can't see the damage you did, you potter. If we have time, we still may have to go into it. Or the lemaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan says, even if you potter, but you're still chayv b'din shemayim to pay. It's the Gemara's. So we see from Shas that there is a concept of ayin hara. There is something. What it is, we don't know yet. But there's something called ayin hara. But maybe things have changed. We see many things in the Gemara, which we say in Ishtana HaTeva, or many things in the Gemara, we say, is the halacha v'leila maisa, is this all ledina? Does one have to worry about ayin hara ala halacha? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Siman Kuf Mem Aleph Sivov, it says there, when the halachas of aliyahs, that me'ikah ledina, you're allowed to call up l'aliyah l'teira, a father and a son, one after the other. There's no problem. You're also allowed to call up two brothers one after the other. Avol noyagim, the minig is not to do it. Mishum ayin hara, because there's some concept of ayin hara, two brothers, a father and a son gets an aliyah, mishum ayin hara, you shouldn't do it. A father and a grandfather and a grandchild is mutter, there's no problem of ayin hara. Hag ben Galila is also not a problem, unless in certain bottom midrashim that they call up the magbiyah and the goyel by name, could be a child of ayin hara. But you see this concept in halacha of a father and a child, two brothers, one doesn't do it outside ayin hara. In Parshas Kisiso, we've got there the beginning of the parsha, the whole concept of machzis ha-shekel. And the posuk tells us, why do you have machzis ha-shekel? V'lo yiyeh bohem negef tefkoi doison. The idea of a machzis ha-shekel is to avoid a mageifa. And Rashi there says, Shahaminyan, by counting people, shoylet bohem ayin hara. When you count people, you get ayin hara. So that's where it comes from, this idea that you don't count people. It's brought down halacha in the Magen Avraham, in Erechaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav. The Magen Avraham says that when you want to count people, you shouldn't count the heads. Because when you count heads, it can cause ayin hara. What should you do? He says you should get the people to put out their hands, stick out the fingers and count the fingers, like the Gemara in Yuma tells us. Then the Beis Hamikdash, when they wanted to make a pious, they used to say Hatzbiu. Everybody stuck their hand out and they counted the fingers. It's a bit of an interesting thing. You see that counting heads causes ayin hara. Counting fingers doesn't cause an ayin hara, even though every hand belongs to a body. But for some reason it's a din in counting heads. If you count kaplach, if you count shirts, the chayr is not a problem. I remember when I was a kid in school, we had this Goyish teacher who always used to come into class and count the kids, make sure we were all in class, and we always used to jump under the desk. And we say, ayin hara. And the manal came in complaining how you tochen, so we said, ayin hara. A simple way round of being, as I state Mogen Avraham, the issa is dafka to go and count heads, to count kaplach, to count shirts, is not a problem of ayin hara. In Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tes Vav, Sif Gimel, he says, and since you mustn't count people, you should use a posuk to count people, and that's where the minig in Klal Yisrael comes. We use the posuk as Shia Samecha. People think the reason why we use that posuk as Shia Samecha is because it speaks about helping Klal Yisrael, Uvarakas Nachlasecha, just to counteract Ayin Hara. It's not so. It's just that posuk has 10 words in it, and that's how you know when you've got a minion. You can use any other posuk. The idea is, just don't count heads. Okay, so it's a given. We see there's a concept of ayin hara in the Gemara, there's a concept of ayin hara in Halacha. How do we handle it, and how far do we have to be concerned about it? So there's not much in the Poskim written about this, but interestingly enough, Reb Moshe in Igros Moshe, Mamish Leibim Kaimai, in Evan Ezer Chele Gimel, he's got a whole tshuva there in Simen Chavav about a ksuba. About writing a ksuba, about a name, Levi in a ksuba. At the end of the long tshuva, he's got one little paragraph of ayin hara, and he writes, the inyan ayin hara, as far as ayin hara is concerned, vada yesh lochush, a person should definitely be careful, he has to be chesh about ayin hara. Avol, and here's the big but, ein lahakbed harbe, don't be too makbed about it. Ki bedvarim ke'elu, when it comes to the concept ayin hara, haklalu, the rule is, if you don't panic about ayin hara, if you're not overly concerned about ayin hara, it'll leave you alone. If you get into a state about it, that's when it will come for you. And there, the Ramesh is speaking about a young lady that became Uberes and she was all worried about ayin hara. And Ramesh says, this is the norm, you don't have to worry about it. And he brings a raya also from the Gemara in Psochim that speaks about zugais, that you shouldn't do things in pairs because of sakana. The Gemara there says, if you're worried about it, it will happen. If you're not worried about it, it won't happen. The Moshe says, something which is out of the ordinary of success that happens to you, then be concerned. But anything which is the norm, don't panic. Question is, what is ayin hara? Who is he? Where does he live? Where does he hibernate? When does he come out? And does he come indoors? What is it? So in a sefer, Paradis Yosef from Parsha Shmini, brings a fascinating story there. He brings there a story of a person who was caught stealing, and the authorities got hold of him, and his punishment was they were going to kill him, they were going to hang him. But they decided before killing him, they were going to go and torture him. They took him into a cell, and they locked him in the cell for 3 days and three nights, no windows. One thing they did, they put up in the top corner of the cell a freshly baked loaf of bread. That's what they put there. No food, no drink, but right up in the far corner where he couldn't reach was this freshly baked loaf of bread. He could smell it, he could see it, he wanted it, but he couldn't have it. And he writes there, Vahiba Yemashlishi, it was on the third day, they took him out, they hung him, they killed him. Nichnusu Shom Haroifim, the doctors went in, Vahiridu Apas, and they took the bread down. Vachotchu, and they cut it open. Umotsu Boy Mole Ral Vesama Moves, and they found inside this bread full of poison. And he explains, how does this work? Nobody put poison into it. Nobody did anything. That is ayin hara. And he says, yesh koyach ba'ayin, there's a koyach in the eye, ke'en magneti, he says, like a magnetic force, Ke'en chashmali, like an electric force that can go and do something. A person's eye has got a power to shoot out something and cause damage. I'm sure we remember from our younger years that if you want to get hold of somebody in the middle of a meeting or in the middle of davening and you can't call across to him and he's in front of you, you just stare at him. You stare and stare. And you sometimes get this feeling that somebody's staring at you and you spin around and he's taka staring at you. How does it work? Yesh koyach ba'ayin. There's a koyach in the eye. There's the eye has got a power. It gives out a ray of some sort. And that's how Ayin Hara works. The Arachai HaKadosh in Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis, Posuk Yud, speaks out and he says, every part of the human body, if you take your finger and you touch it, you've got no problem. Aber in Megea Be'etzpa, if you take your finger and you touch it in your eye, it stings. Why is that? Explains the Arachai HaKadosh, Ha'ayin hu ruchni. The eye is a ruchnistic thing. V'hagufu gashmi. And the body is a gashmistic thing. And when you combine the two, it hurts. The eye has got a special power. One of the oifas mentioned in the Torah is called the Bas Hayama. And the Mefarshim explain this uniqueness of this bird is all birds lay eggs and sit on it to keep them warm. This bird lays an egg, v'yoshev mimerchak, and sits from the distance, u'mistakal al beitzasa, and stares at it egg, u'mechamemoy, and it heats it up. V'zehu atam, they write, the Torah called it bas hayano. You take the word yano, it's got in it the letters ayin yud nun. Bas ayin, it uses its eye to heat it up. But there's an obvious shaila. If there is such a metzias, as we see in the Gemara and the Poskim, that there's a concept called Ayin Hara, when a person looks at something, he gives out, so to speak, these rays from his eyes, and he can affect something. We live in a world. The metzias is you see things. We don't want to be mazik people. We're supposed to walk around blindfolded. How are we supposed to handle living? So there's a Me'iri in Bava Basra. The Me'iri explains, Ein Ayin Hara sheletes, Ayin Hara only works elo b'riya masmedes. If there's a constant staring, a constant gazing, that's when Ayin Hara goes in for the kill. That's when Ayin Hara nabs it. There's nothing wrong in seeing things. But if your neighbor gets himself a new BMW 7 Series, an Audi A9, there's nothing wrong seeing it. But don't go round and walk round it and call your chaverim over to see it. That's when Ayin Hara goes in. Ayin Hara goes in when you go in Mriya Masmedes. But there's a different shaila. Apostle shaila namuna. Miveisendach, we maminim b'nei maminim. And the Gemara tells us already, Ein odom zoykef et spoyek tanam lamata elem kein nigza olav mamala. A person doesn't knock his little finger unless if it's basher. Unless if it's min basher. So how can it work that I go and stare at you, Akuzi Anira, you stare at me? How does it work? Is it bashet or is it not bashet? So the Chazanish himself grapples with this question. And the Chazanish in the Kutum Bava Basra Simon Chafalev explains as follows. I suppose you can read the Chazanish to explain it. He says, most people in this world are not Rishon Gemurim. Most people in this world are not Tzadikim Gemurim. A Rosh Gomer, the Rabbeinu Shalom decides to send out an illness to punish him. A regular person who's not a Rosh Gomer, not a Tzadik Gomer, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, you know what? I will leave this person l'teva ha'olam, to the nature of this world. The Dovah Teva, he writes, it's put into the Yesod Sabriya that a person's eyes can be mazik somebody. A person who's not Tzadik HaRosha gets left to the world, and that's where Ayin Hara can come for him. And perhaps that's pshat in what the Gemara says, 99% of people die from Ayin Hara. Because the regular person is Nishkan Tzadik Gom and Nishkan Rosh Gom, so he's left his Teva Olam, and that's where Ayin Hara comes in for him. Is there any way we can save ourselves from Ayin Hara? Is there a way to protect yourself? So the Svarim say there's two eitzes how to protect yourself from ayin hara. The first eitzah they say is tefillah, to daven. And you look in some sidurim, tefillahs kol peh, and other sidurim, there's a special tefillah that they put in the lekayin atzoi. Yerotzen shleyale kinas odam alai. It's a tefillah against ayin hara. There's all other things. Motzei Shabbos, some people say, thinking against ayin hara. There's something to be concerned about ayin hara. And perhaps that's the reason, you know, you ask grandmothers, we all remember, you ask your grandmother, how many einiklich have you got? Bli ayin hara, bli ayin hara. They're not just saying bli ayin hara. It's not like, how are you Baruch Hashem, or how are you bli ayin hara. It's a tefillah. Bli ayin hara, they're davening. Bli ayin hara, I've got so many. Bli ayin hara, business is going fine. Bli ayin hara, I'm healthy. It's a tefillah. The other eight says, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chav Tesam at Beis, Omar of Nachman, Odom Osish Leila Haspia Satzmai. A person should have an hoga that whenever he goes around and people speak things, speak to him, he shouldn't go and satisfy himself in the public eye. He shouldn't go and tell people everything's gewaldig, everything's fantastic, everything's brilliant. No. Odom Osish Leila Haspia Satzmai. And Rashi says that a person should say, you see my nechosim, but you don't know how many chavis I've got. My portfolio, it all belongs to the bank. My car, it's leased. Don't go and say how much you've got. One should do things not to show oneself off as an oshe. Remember years ago when I was learning in Ponovich, I had a roommate, an American bocher, who came from a very, very well-to-do house. It was interesting, at the beginning of each Zman, he would come with a full new kit, new suits, new shoes, new glasses, the lot. He would come with a new kit every Zman. Interesting, Zach. The first Shabbos of Zman, he would never wear his new suit. And I asked him, my hi, what's it all about? So he said, Ich darf eishtech in jene zeigen. Bochur in yeshiva, Bnei Brak, don't I have to come with my new suit? There's a lot to be said for such a thing. You meet your fellow friend at the end of the day, and you know he's struggling with panossa, and he asks you, how's your day been? Don't go and tell him, I only managed to get 3 properties at the auction today and I wanted 5. That's not what you're supposed to do. All the motzei shleila haspia satzmai. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was very makbid on Rosh Hashanah, not to have an aliyah. And when they asked him why, he said, "B'seich ami anoichi yeshevis. I want to sit amongst my people. Rosh Hashanah is a day where Klal Yisrael have to give them the cheshbon, kol b'nei Yisrael oivim k'fnei moron. If I fit in with a crowd, if I don't stick out, I won't get judged as an individual, I get judged as a crowd." Rabbi Chanan wanted to blend in. He said, Rosh Hashanah, I don't want an aliyah. I was Rosh Hashiva, I don't want an aliyah, Rosh Hashanah. You get some people who are very concerned about ayin hara, and they wear a red string. I write a bindula. Is there something for it? Is there not something for it? So the truth is, there's a lot of inyanim. I remember once going to Kev Arochel, and there they give you these red strings, you sell them a shekel a piece. So I asked the person who was selling it, I said, is there anything in these strings? So he pulled out from his pocket a whole A4 paper with a whole lot of marmakamas, all for the string. So I said to him, you know, but there's a shayla in the poiskim, some say it's my, said, doimi, you shouldn't do it. He says, yes, there's a whole load of people that are against it, and he pulled from his other pocket an A4 seat, or she's all about things against it. Against having these red tabindlach, against having these red strings. You go into an Israeli taxi, and you can tell if he's from Swadesh or Orangen, if he has dangling from his mirror there a hand with a load of Seamus on it. And you ask him, what's it all about? He says, Keneged Ayin Hara. And you said to him, at the Shomer Shabbat, Ma Shabbat, the Ik is Ayin Hara. Now, you're right, but they take it very serious. Maybe we should make a skula to keep Shabbos. In Yerushalayim, there's this lady known as the Hot Lead Lady, and she lives on the same block where Moshe Halberstam Zechzadet of Rocha used to live. And she said, "So Iska Halten, a lady. I've never been in there myself, But I hear from people, the way it works is, you go into her if you're worried about Ayin Hara. Rami Shalva Shalva used to send people to her, and she pours hot lead in a pot, boils it up, and then holds it over the person's head, and pours it from one pot to the other, and apparently it makes a pop or something, and you see all different things in the lead. Now, I've never seen this. Is there something in it? There might be not, but people don't use it. Rami Shalva Shalva Gehalten was Mutter Ledina to go and do it. I myself once had a privilege to be with some Gevir who had a rough ride in life, and he was convinced it was Ayin Hara. So he came to Etzrol, we met up there, and went around the Gedolim for Brochus, and we were at Rabbi Yashav's Zayin Gezunt. He was worried about Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yashav just made away with the whole thing and just gave him a Brocha. But there was someone in the room there, and he said, if you want to go and concerned and get rid of your Ayin Hara, I'll give you an address to go. This is a great nephew of Rabbi Yashav. He's a Mekobel. He's an Einikel of Rabbi Levine. But you mustn't tell him that we've sent you, because he gets very upset when we send people. He gave us some address in the back of nowhere. We went there. It was 8 in the morning after davening. We knock on this door of a besmedrish. At the old times, a window opened. There was somebody to tell us in Tvilin. And we said, we'd like to speak to you. We came into him. I told him this fellow's concerned about Ayin Hara. And so he takes a shekel out of his pocket and he's makne it to this person and he says, now give it back to me. He goes in front of the Aron HaKodesh, stands there, pulls the talis over, mumbles and murmurs, and he says, Ayin Hara gone. Now I was convinced we were going to get a bill after this. Now I turned to him and I said, so what do we owe you? He said, nothing. Is there something in it? Is there not something in it? I don't know. You can't make yourself totally ill about it. The best way to sum it up is be normal. We know there is something, the Gemara tells us, the bracha is there, something which is hidden from the eye. Perhaps I was thinking that's maybe pshat. Something which is hidden from people's eye, there's no chashash Ayin Hara anymore. And perhaps al derech hadrushi can also say, Yeshua Sashem keheref ayin. The help of the Rebbeinu Shalom is like the blink of the eye. When there's a blink, nobody's looking for that split second. Nobody's gazing, nobody can stop anything. The way to go forward in life, one can't make oneself ill. One can't go meshuga about it. Remoshe, and this Moshe sums it up beautifully. Mande kopet kopdinim badei, mande loy kopet loy kopdinim badei. True. Don't go and tell everybody we're shunt dekatzlocha. Has anybody ever wondered how comes we don't hear often that Yiddish boys have won the national lottery? Do you really believe they haven't won? It's poshut. Yidden am bali mazel. It's poshut that there's some good players out there who have done very well for themselves. Oh, but zahavim seichel. They don't say anything about it. Rav Moshe says, don't go and blow your mishnah dekatzlocha. Be normal. Something which is known to happen, don't hide. Something which is not known, do hide. And then you're guaranteed to have atzlocha dekalayv hem beruchnis hem begashmis.